from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now it's 4:15 on a Thursday. That means we're joined by the newest member of the 33rd team. His podcast there called Mic Check. With Sam Monson. I'm talking about Steve Palazzolo is back with us here. Steve, I was given a list of roster cut down wide receivers who might make sense for the Steelers. This is scary. And you, as an aspiring GM and football lover and knower, I will give you this list and you tell me from this list who the most attractive option would be for the Steelers. This is real sicko football fan stuff.
Yeah,
which
this is
right up your alley.
This is gross what we're about to do here, Steve. So prepare yourself.
Willie Snead, Tyquan Thornton, Russell Gage, Steven Sims, Philip Dorsett, Kadarius Toney, Isaiah Hodgins.
Don't forget Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson. Do any of them even make your face go, ooh, for a second? Like that Alonzo Mourning gif where you're like, oh, maybe this is a good idea.
And just go.
No, not really. I mean, there's got to be some better receivers that are getting cut out there.
I had a friend text me more names. How about Lil Jordan Humphrey, Xavier Hutchinson, or LaVisca Chenault?
Xavier Hutchinson. I like that guy.
He's in Houston. We saw him last week here.
Yeah, I mean, they're loaded at receiver. He could be. I mean, I think he's really good after the catch. I mean, Van Jefferson's getting some good reports, right? I mean, if
Kenny Pickett got good reports, Steve, I mean, I'm not doing this again. Yes.
Oh, you're a whole new man. It's great.
Thank you, Steve.
He's been trying. He's trying to be, Steve, because he still wants to fall into the same preseason traps.
What did I do with Justin Fields on Monday? I gave honest,
you were the poo-poo platter. Yeah, you were the poo-poo platter. You were doing so much poo-pooing, it was unbelievable. So why does Hutchinson, though, good after the catches, if he gets cut, would be intriguing for that reason specifically?
Yeah, I mean, as a developmental wide receiver, I think he's got some yak ability. I think that's like the one name that I thought of. Tyquan Thornton, I think everybody loves fast receivers. He ran in the 4.2s. He just doesn't really have the play strength to do anything. Russell Gage is the other name that came up. You know, it's always tough when you have a guy that just is a name and hasn't been productive in a couple of years due to injuries or whatever, if you can expect him to come back. But if you're looking for an instant impact and Gage is, you know, healthy and doesn't look like he's lost a step, maybe he's the one guy on that list that might be able to contribute as well.
Steve, Donnie and I, while Pony was busy doing God knows what before the show, we have no idea. He's in his lair making up sounders and things. Donnie and I were trying to brainstorm this because let's just say it's Van Jefferson and he stays as wide receiver 2. We were then trying to figure out in recent NFL history how many teams were able to put up a good offense while having their top two pass targets be a wide receiver and then like tight end one, you know what I mean? And so the tight end functioned as their de facto wide receiver two. The names we came up with were like the obviously Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill was dynamic. Debo and Kittle, you could argue, was probably that. Maybe even like Dez, and I think Jason Witten was still there because he was there for 100 years in Dallas. Do you think that approach generally can be viable for a team to have a good passing offense where there's one big receiver, a tight end, and then just a lot of guys otherwise?
You could add the Ravens to the mix with Mark Andrews.
Well, they're more the tight end is the main guy, and then you hope that there's a receiver.
He's
right.
Number one.
Right.
I mean, I think the people that you mentioned, though, they have elite tight ends, like elite game-changing pass-catching tight ends. I think Pat Freiermuth has the ability to be a good, solid tight end. I love the 1-2 punch of him and Washington and what they're able to do. But, I mean, I'd still rather have a dynamic outside threat. I think all those teams that you mentioned, or if you add, you know, the Patriots and Gronk or whoever it might be, those are elite tight ends that are taking over a bunch of the targets. So, yeah, I think it's a challenge to be able to build an offense, you know, with the receiver and a tight end as the top two.
Breaking news, Steve. It is not Brandon Ayuk coming to the Steelers, but we do have Atlanta. Their week one opponent just signed Justin Simmons at safety, and they traded for Matthew Judon yesterday. Do either one of those moves make you feel like the Steelers now have a tougher task in store for their first game?
Oh, yeah. I think both players help the Falcons quite a bit. The Falcons have one of the worst pass rush situations in the NFL, or at least edge rush situations in the NFL. Judon is, you know, a good solid pass rusher who, you know, finishes plays. He's like TJ Watt light, you know, just always finishes and gets a lot of sacks overall. And Simmons can still play. I don't completely understand what has happened with the safety market this offseason where so many veteran safeties were just, you know, sent away. But Simmons can still play. That Broncos defense, they had that stretch of play where they were really good in the middle of the season. And Simmons is at the forefront of that. He can still make a lot of plays and do a lot of things. So I think the Falcons, those are two really good additions at positions of need.
Steve, if the Steelers do not get Brandon Ayuk, the best version of their offense features who? Pickens and blank. Fill in the blank is the number two guy.
It's probably Freiermuth or some combination of the tight ends.
No Jalen Warren and then there?
I'm intrigued to see what Warren does, but it, you know me, guys. I'm not going to tell your running back's the second most important player on it. I have a tough time even doing that with Christian McCaffrey, you know, even when he was in Carolina. So
does it surprise you that the Niners prioritized him, by the way, since you brought him up in terms of paying him some more money compared to a guy like Ayuk so far at least?
It's a little surprising, but it's so tough. Like when you do the AB analysis of what were the Niners before McCaffrey and after McCaffrey, it coincided with Brock Purdy. Like they almost got there right around the same time. But that Niners offense has just been so good since McCaffrey got there. I think they just wanted to make sure that it stayed. And the fact that they just have so many weapons that you can't cover. And McCaffrey is one of those guys. I just think he's, you know, after the Debos and the Kittles and the Ayuks of the world.
What did you make of Justin Fields' Steelers debut on Friday, Steve?
I mean, it was fine. I thought there was some throws. Like every now and again, I just kind of wish that the Ohio State Justin Fields came out. I thought he would be a little more accurate at the NFL level. I thought you saw elements of that. But there's still this, you know, working a little bit too slow through progressions, taking too many negative plays, you know, the ball being on the turf. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have strong feelings either way. You know, it's not like there was like a massive, you know, turnaround. I don't think in Fields at this point, we saw a lot of what we've seen previously from him.
Fautanu, I think, gave up a sack and then two pressures. And yet the Steelers pretty soon after that game, which he got taken out of with a very minor MCL tweak at halftime, Steve, the Steelers announced, one of the Steelers' most tenured beat writers suggested that he was going to be your opening day right tackle. What did you see from him?
Yeah, I thought it was a good debut for him and for Zach Frazier. I thought that it was a good start for both guys. I think Fautanu, you know, I think because of his height, a lot of people expected that he would be, you know, potentially, you know, a guard, but he has tackle length. And I thought it was a good start. I was really impressed with a lot of the first round tackles. I think a lot of them just looked like they belonged and that they were capable of contributing right away. Some of them are flipping sides, Fautano being one of those guys. I think that leads to some, there might be some ups and downs when you are switching sides in year one, but I think he showed that he can hold his own.
Steve, do you have confidence that George Pickens can go from big playmaker, when he has the ball in his hands, he does a lot with it, but goes from that type of wow player to the next level, which is not just that, but 100 catches, 1,200 yards, that kind of player in 2024?
I think he's capable of it. I mean, just a couple of the plays last year, even just early on, you saw his speed after the catch. I mean, it felt like he showed more last year, and now I think it's just that consistency issue, the idea that his contested catches were kind of up and down last year. But he has the special plays in the bag. He can make those. He can make plays when he's covered. I think he's shown that you can move him around a little bit, put him into space, and let him create after the catch. I think Pickens has all the tools to handle it. It's just a matter of, week to week being able to do it. I think the tools are absolutely there to have a huge season.
How much, because we know the Steelers venerate this position and really place a lot of importance on it, off-ball linebacker, how much realistically can Patrick Queen improve and help their defense this year from what it was last year?
Yeah, I mean, if he continues what he did in Baltimore, I thought he looked like a completely different player the last year and a half with the Ravens. I think you have to say how much was being in that Mike McDonald scheme, how much is it having Roquan Smith, but Queen has incredible athleticism, excellent range and coverage, has to clean up some tackling issues when he's flying around the field, but I think he has a ton of potential. I thought he had a ton of potential when he came out in the first round at LSU. Kind of looked like he was lost a little bit at times early in his career. Again, the tackling was an issue, but the range that he has and the athleticism, I think he could do some big-time things at linebacker.
Steve Palazzolo, now with the 33rd team. Check out the podcast, Mic Check, with Steve and his longtime podcast partner, Sam Monson, who has really endeared himself to Steelers fans over the years with his takes on Maurkice Pouncey and TJ Watt. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See ya. There you go. Steve Palazzolo, everybody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.